As I shared with you earlier, today I'm bringing the message from the old Regency Mall in Augusta, Georgia. The Regency Mall was opened July 27th, 1978, just a couple years before I was born. This used to be my favorite mall. It had a great arcade. It had some great stores. It had some great restaurants. I loved this place, and I know so many people who love this place as well. It was a beautiful mall. In fact, when it opened, it was over 800,000 square feet, the largest mall in the state of Georgia. Well, its lifespan was only 24 years. In fact, it has been wasting away, and it's really lay here in ruins for almost 20 years. It finally closed its doors 17 years ago in early 2002 after its final anchor store, Montgomery Ward, closed its doors, and that was the final nail in the coffin. But as stores left here, and as Montgomery Ward was still trying to hold on, they were boarding up this building before it was even officially closed. They were shutting down the escalators. And so it was like a ghost town here. People didn't want to go shopping at a place that was boarded up, or most of it was boarded up. And so people continued to not show up and continued to not come here. And finally, Montgomery Ward closed down. Part of the reason this building and this property has wasted away over the last 20 plus years is because this was primarily viewed as a mall. And that's what it started out as. But that was a secondary purpose. See, this is a building. This structure is a building. And a building's primary purpose is to house things. It's to store things. It's to protect things. So this could have been used for so much more than just a mall. Could have been a warehouse. Could have been a college. It could have been a number of things. The primary purpose of this structure is to be a building. There was no one that had a vision to use this property for anything beyond just a mall. Now, over the years, there's been a lot of talk, but there's not been any action to back it up and to actually do something. So for over 20 years, this building has been wasting away. And see, I think today about you who are tuning in and you who are watching, whether you're a part of New Passion or someone shared this on their profile page, on their social media page, and you're tuning in, I wonder if because of some kind of struggle or some kind of suffering or maybe a disappointment, you've allowed your life to waste away. See, I know that there are people, because we all go through suffering. We all go through difficulty. We all go through disappointment. And what happens oftentimes is we allow those things to paralyze us from moving forward, to paralyze us from actually fulfilling our primary purpose in life. For some of you, your disappointment is what you think your identity is, or what your hopes and dreams were, never came to fruition. That may look like a career. It may look like being a nurse or a doctor. We know this for specialized fields like athletes and musicians and actors and people like that. We've heard of people who have moved off to like Hollywood and Nashville and to make it big as a musician or as an actor. And the moment someone tells them they're not as good as they think they are or as other people have told them they are, it could be crushing. It could be heartbreaking. It could be paralyzing to them. I know athletes who have a very difficult time retiring because their identity is tied up in that. See, some of you think that your identity is what you do for a living, a soldier, or maybe you think your identity is something like being a husband or a wife. I know that there are some people talking about retirement and things like that. There are people who won't leave their career because they've tied their identity to that. I've known pastors who won't retire when they need to retire because their identity is tied up in being a pastor. I've known people who've gone to seminary to become a pastor or a ministry leader. And when that didn't happen, it paralyzed them. It crippled them. Why? Because that disappointment was what they had, or that disappointment led to them paralyzed and wasting their life away, but they had so wrapped their life around that identity and what they thought that they should be or that they were supposed to be, that when it didn't happen, they thought that their primary purpose in life had wasted away and gone away. And so today, I want us to change the way we think. That's the theme for this series. Change your thinking, change your life. Change your thinking, change your life. Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 4 to change our thinking and to dwell and to think on certain things. I'm not going to look at that whole thing, but we will look at it in this series. But one of those things he says is to think on what is true. So today, I want us to think on what is true when it comes to your life's purpose, to all of our life's primary purpose. To live victoriously, you need to rethink your life's purpose. To live victoriously, you need to rethink your life's purpose. Today, we're going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. So if you have your Bible, you can turn there. In the YouVersion Bible app, I'm in the CSB, the Christian Standard Bible, or it will be on the screen for you. Once again, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we're going to begin in verse 5, and this is what Paul says. For we are not proclaiming ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servant for Jesus' sake. For God who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of God's glory in the face of Jesus Christ. Now we have this treasure in clay jars, so that this extraordinary power may be from God and not from us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not abandoned. We are struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry the death of Jesus in our body, so that the life of Jesus may also be displayed in our body. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that Jesus' life may also be displayed in our mortal flesh. So then, death is at work in us, but life in you. And since we have the same spirit of faith in keeping with what is written, I believe, therefore I spoke, we also believe and therefore speak. For we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you. Indeed, everything is for your benefit, so that as grace extends through more and more people, it may cause thanksgiving to increase to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not give up. Even though our outer person is being destroyed, our inner person is being renewed day by day. For our momentary light affliction is producing for us an absolutely incomparable eternal weight of glory. So we do not focus on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. In this passage of Scripture, Paul begins by saying the ministry that he is involved in, what he is doing, for he and his companions, that they are not proclaiming themselves. There is nothing about themselves to proclaim. But he says they have become a servant of Jesus Christ. They have become a servant of the people that they are writing to, that they are serving in these churches. He says, for we are not proclaiming ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. So here, they're saying that my life is not my own. It's not for my purpose. It's not for what I desire. It's not for what I dream. Those things are not inherently wrong. It's not inherently wrong to desire to be something. It's not inherently wrong to desire a certain career or a certain position. In fact, God instituted work, and he instituted it before the fall of man. So it's not, work is not a result of sin. It's not a desire, it's not wrong to desire to be a parent. And see, for some of us, that can be paralyzing. If we desire to be a mom or to be a dad, and today is Mother's Day. And so for some, it's heartbreaking and it's disappointing to desire to be a mom and not to be able to. To desire to be a dad and not to be able to. But it's not inherently wrong to desire those things, because God said it's a blessing to have children. Maybe it's to desire to be married, to be a husband or to be a wife, and that's not wrong because God created the institution of marriage. But here, Paul is saying that my primary purpose, my reason for what I'm doing is not for myself. It's not so I can one day become what I desire to become. God, I'm going to do this so that I can one day be what you want, what I want to be. I can have the career I want. I can have the status that I want. I can have the position that I want. Paul says, I'm not proclaiming myself. There was nothing of himself to proclaim. He goes on in verse 6 saying, for God who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of God's glory in the face of Jesus Christ. Here, he goes on to say that the very God of creation spoke light, the one who spoke light into the utter darkness of creation is the same God who spoke light into the utter darkness of our souls and into our hearts. He is the one that has illuminated us. He is the one that has awakened us. So I have nothing to proclaim of myself. My position doesn't matter. How great I am in the eyes of people does not matter. Me fulfilling my purpose does not matter. Me accomplishing my dreams does not matter. There is nothing of myself to proclaim, but it is the God of the universe, the God who awakens me to salvation, who has put the light within the utter darkness of my heart. He is the one that I serve. He is the one that I proclaim. And he has done this, he says. He has awakened us. He has given us this light in our utter darkness so that we will have the knowledge of the glory of God. See, he has saved us. He has transformed us. If he has, if you have trusted Christ as Savior, if he has illuminated and he has put the light within the utter darkness of your soul and he has brought you to salvation, he has done that so that you might have the knowledge of the glory of God made known through the face of Jesus, the never dimming face of Jesus, through the person of Jesus. So he has saved you for his glory. He has saved you so you will know of his glory. He has saved you so you will live for his glory. Verse 7 goes on, now we have this treasure. We have this light. We have this salvation. It is a treasure in clay jars, so that this extraordinary power may be from God and not from us. If I have a great treasure, I'm going to secure it. I'm going to make sure it's secure. It's somewhere in a nice, secure, strong place. In fact, we've all seen movies where there's a great treasure to be found. Maybe Indiana Jones or some pirate movie. And they find a map and they're finding this invaluable treasure, this great treasure. And it's usually hidden somewhere really well. And it's going to be very difficult to find. Maybe there's booby traps or something like that. And so for us, we've been given this great treasure. We've been given this great salvation. But Paul says that God didn't just put it somewhere strong. He didn't just put it somewhere secure. What he did was he placed it within us, jars of clay, weak, frail humanity. He put his great treasure within us. He's given us the Holy Spirit. He's given us his light and his life. Why did he do that? Because we're so weak and we're so frail that as people see us, that as they see us living for the glory of God, as they see us going through this life for his purpose and for his plan, and they see us enduring all the difficulties and all the disappointments and all the struggles and going through the suffering as Paul did, and they see the power of God working through us, they know that it's not us. They know there's nothing of us to proclaim, but they see that it is God working through us. They see that there's something different in us, working through us, that we're living for a greater purpose than ourselves. See, because when we're living for ourselves, when we're living for our purposes and our comfort, and they don't happen, it can lead to paralyzation. It can lead to where we just lie in waste, where we lie in ruins, and our life wastes away. So when we go through suffering and we go through disappointments and it doesn't paralyze us, people see the power of God working through us, frail humans, jars of clay. Verse 8, he goes on, we are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not abandoned. We are struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry the death of Jesus in our body so that the life of Jesus may also be displayed in our body. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that Jesus' life may also be displayed in our mortal bodies. So then, death is at work in us, but life in you. So in verse 8, he begins off by sharing that they have gone through affliction. They have gone through disappointments. They have gone through persecutions. They have gone through perplexing situations. They have been struck down. But despite his suffering, despite these difficult circumstances and situations, it has not crushed them. It has not left them in despair. It has not crippled them. They continue on. Their life does not lay in ruins. They have not just allowed their life to waste away because they face some persecution and they face some difficulties. Because there's disappointments in their life and they didn't turn out the way that they wanted them to. You know, before Paul became a Christian, he was high up within the religious organization, within the Mosaic law and with those religious leaders. He was persecuting Christians. And he gave all of that away. He gave all of that up for a life following after Jesus because Jesus had awakened him to salvation. And so now he suffers. Now he is persecuted. Now he goes through these difficulties, but it has not paralyzed him. And so he says, though they go through affliction, they're not crushed. They're not in despair. They're not abandoned. They're not destroyed. Why? Because he had the proper thinking about his life's purpose. He understood that his primary purpose in life was not to be some high up religious teacher. That his purpose in life was not to always be comfortable. His purpose in life was not whatever he placed his identity in. And for some of us, we are crushed and we are left in despair and we feel abandoned because we've put our identity in something outside of Christ. We think that our identity is husband or wife, mom or dad, soldier or pastor, or whatever it is for you. It could be actor or singer or musician. It could be doctor or nurse. And so if you've placed your identity in that, and if you are relying on that identity and disappointment sets in, it could paralyze you. Your life will just waste away like the Regency Mall, like this property and this building have over 20 years. And I wonder how many years your life has been wasting away because of disappointment, because of some kind of struggle or suffering. Today, I want you to think on what is true about your life's purpose. If you want to live victorious, you have to rethink your life's purpose. Paul goes on to say that we always carry the death of Jesus in our body. Every one of us deserves eternal separation from God in hell. Every one of us because of our sin. Every one of us should face an eternity of punishment. Every one of us should face an eternity of torture. Every one of us should have been on that cross that Jesus was on our behalf. We didn't have to face that. Thanks be to God that that is the good news of the gospel, that Jesus took your place on the cross, your death. He took your sin on himself so that you could have right standing with God, so that you could have the righteousness of God. And so in our sufferings, in our disappointments, in our struggles, in our troubles, here Paul tells us in verse 10, we always carry the death of Jesus in our body. So that is our way of joining with Jesus in death. We die to ourselves. The Bible says we have been crucified with Christ. Our bodies waste away. We face health issues. We face disappointments. We face those troubles. And in doing so, we always carry the death of Jesus in our body so that the life of Jesus may also be displayed in our body. See, as we go through those struggles, as we suffer, as we go through pain, as we deal with letdown, as we face, I would say persecution, but in America, we really don't face persecution. You may, by your family, you may face some sort of persecution, but there are people around the world that was much like Paul that face a great persecution for their faith, even up to death. And so as we face those things, we also display the life of Christ in our bodies. They see the power of God living through these jars of clay, these weak and frail bodies of ours, these weak and frail people that we are, our humanity. As they see what we go through in life and they see that we are not crushed, that we are not abandoned, that we are not in despair, it reveals a greater purpose that we're living for. It reveals the power of God working in and through us. So in verse 12, he says, so then death is at work in us, but life in you. See, as people see the power of God working through us and in us. As they see us going through the struggles and the suffering, and they see us going through the disappointments, and they don't crush us. They don't allow us to waste away. They don't paralyze us. We don't lie in ruins, but we continue on and we move forward. And we have joy and we live at peace. When they see that, when others see that, it produces life in them. They see something different in us. They see something different through us. And it's the power of God working within us. So that's why Paul says, look, I'm not here to proclaim myself. I am here to proclaim Jesus. It's not about self-elevation. It's not about self-promotion. It's not about self-advancement. That's not the purpose of my life. That's not the primary purpose of my life. The primary purpose of my life is to glorify God and to do good to my fellow man. We've talked about this oftentimes. Our primary purpose is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. It's to glorify God and to find our pleasure in Him, to find our joy in Him. And also, it's to do good to others. In fact, Rick Warren wrote one of the most powerful statements in the Purpose Driven Life book to open a book. He said he didn't want it to be a self-help book. But trust me, if you can grasp this, the truth of this statement, it will help you greatly. That opening statement was, it's not about you. Our life is not about us. Our life is about glorifying God. It's about enjoying Him, finding joy in Him, finding pleasure in Him, in that relationship that we share with Him, but it's also in doing good to our fellow man. Look what Ephesians says. We are very familiar with this. He talks about, for by grace we are saved through faith, not of ourselves, not from works. He goes on so that none of us can boast, so that none of us can self-proclaim, so that it's not about us. We can't say, look how good we are. But this is what he says in verse 10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared ahead of time for us to do. So He has saved you for His glory, but then He has created you new in Christ to do good works. Those good works are not just for yourself. They're not to earn a right standing with God, because for by grace you have been saved, not through works. But those good works are not only a way to bring glory to God, but it's to do good to our fellow man. Look at what Jesus Himself said in Matthew chapter 5. Matthew 5, and we're going to look at verses 14 through 16. It says, you are the light of the world. A city situated on a hill cannot be hidden. So you're the light of the world. You have the light of Christ in you. The God who created the universe, who spoke light into the utter darkness of the world, He spoke light into the utter darkness of your souls and into your hearts. You are the light of the world. It goes on to say, no one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket, but rather on a lampstand, and it gives light for all who are in the house. We are to be a light for all to see. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. So in salvation, we were saved to become God's workmanship, to do the good works that He created for us beforehand. So we've been created to do good works. And then He says, let your light so shine before men so that they will see your good works. Why? So that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. So as we fulfill our purpose to glorify God, to enjoy Him forever, to do good to our fellow man, as we do good works, as we do those things, we then lead others to fulfill their purpose in life as well, to glorify God. It's one more way for us to bring glory to God. So in verse 15, he goes on to say, indeed, everything is for your benefit, so that as grace extends through more and more people, it may cause thanksgiving to increase to the glory of God. So once again, that disappointment you're going through, it's not to paralyze you. It's not to go, woe is me. That thing that you had rooted your identity in, it can't hold the weight of your expectation. It's not designed to be your identity. That thing that's causing you suffering, that thing that's leading to struggle in your life and heartache and pain, that thing is not just intended for you to just let your life waste away. It's not for us to just shrink back and say that we've been crushed, that we are in despair, because our life is not about us. Paul said that he had gone through affliction, that he had gone through persecution, that he had gone through all of these things, as he says in verses 8 and 9, but they weren't crushed, they weren't in despair, they went through perplexing situations, and then he says, indeed, everything, in verse 15, everything that they went through. See, that's where we need to change our thinking. That everything you are going through is not against you. And it's not even about you. Paul says, indeed, everything is for your benefit. How is what you're going through right now? You know what it is. You know what you're dealing with. You know your struggle. You know your disappointment. How is what you're going through able to benefit someone else? Those are the questions I want you to ask yourself this morning. How is what I'm going through able to benefit someone else? How can I use it to benefit my fellow man? How can I use it to encourage someone else? How can I use it so that they can see the life of Christ living through me? That they won't see me crushed. That they won't see me in despair. That they won't see me abandoned. That they won't see me like the Regency Mall, just wasting away, lying in ruins. How can you use what you're going through to be a benefit to someone else? How can you use what you're going through for the glory of God? That disappointment, that pain, for the glory of God. Indeed, everything is for your benefit, so that as grace extends through more and more people, it may cause thanksgiving to what? Increase to the glory of God. As you allow your life, whatever experience it is that you're going through, to be a benefit to someone else, it will lead to thanksgiving to the increase glory of God. That is our primary purpose. That is what we're called to. And then he goes on in verse 16, therefore we do not give up. Therefore do not give up. Paul did not give up despite the challenges that he faced. Why? Because it was for the benefit of someone else. It was for the increasing glory of God. Do not give up. How can what you're going through benefit someone else? How can what you're going through increase to the glory of God? That's how you've got to change your thinking. If you want to live victorious like Paul did, like his companions did, like many other Christians do around the world, you got to change your thinking. How can my experience, how can my challenge be used for the glory of God? How can it bring glory to God? How can it benefit other people? You've got to change the way you think to live victoriously. Don't give up. Don't give up. Rethink what you're going through and how it can be a blessing to someone else, how it can benefit someone else. Therefore, we do not give up. Even though our outer person is being destroyed, our inner person is being renewed day by day. Even as you die to yourself, even as you face that suffering, even as you're dying on the outside, God will use it to renew you on the inside. But you got to stay the course. You can't give up. You got to see a greater purpose. You got to keep moving forward. You got to stay in the game. You can't give up. You got to have the right perspective. You got to live out whatever you're experiencing for the glory of God. And in doing so, he will renew you inside. But if you just waste away, if you sit paralyzed, if you lie in ruins, it will do nothing for the working and the renewing of your inside. You will just waste your life away year after year. For our momentary light affliction. See, compared to what we could face for eternity, the things we face on this earth are momentary and they are light. He says those things are producing for us an absolutely incomparable eternal weight of glory. There is an incomparable eternal weight of glory that we get to encounter and we get to enjoy in heaven on the other side of of this momentary light affliction. And then he closes with verse 18. So we do not focus on what is seen. We're changing our thinking. We're changing our focus. We don't focus on the things that are seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. So we don't focus on what is unseen, the earthly things, the temporary things, the suffering things, the disappointing things. We don't focus on those things. We focus on what is unseen, the glory of God, the gospel, the things of heaven. Why? Because those things create an eternal change. Those things will lead to the life of Jesus being a benefit to other people. As death works in us, life works in them. What we go through is for the benefit of other people. So today, as I close in prayer, first and foremost, if you don't know Jesus, he has a greater purpose and a greater plan for your life. He wants to save you and he wants to transform you. Right where you're at today, as we pray, you can call on him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you believe that he went to the cross to pay the penalty for your sin, and you confess that with your mouth, he will save you. You can do that while we pray, and I hope that you will. But for those who are going through some kind of disappointment or suffering or struggle or setback or whatever it is, and you're allowing it to paralyze you, to allow your life to lay in ruins and to waste away, today I'm going to encourage you to have a conversation with God. Today I'm going to ask you to, through his Spirit, to help you change the way you think, to change the way you focus on your life. And that today would be the day that you begin to look at your life in a different way and the primary purpose of your life. Because it's to glorify God and do good to your fellow man. And the way we do good to our fellow man is through our good works, but it's also in how we endure the struggles and the disappointments and the difficulties of life. And so wherever you're at, I'm going to encourage you to have a conversation with God. But for every one of us needs to ask God to help us to maintain the right perspective no matter what we experience in life. That it's not about us. It's not about our self-proclamation, but it is for the glory of God and for the good of our fellow man. So let's pray. God, we thank you so much that you love us. We thank you that you have given us salvation. We thank you that you, the very God who spoke light into the utter darkness of creation, you have spoken light. You have given us life into the utter darkness of our souls and of our hearts. I thank you for that. Help us today to change the way we think, to not focus on earthly things, to not focus on the temporary, momentary, light afflictions of this earth, but we would focus on how those things can be used for an eternal good in the hearts and in the life of other people. Help us to suffer well. Help us to not quit and not to give up, but despite our sufferings and despite our troubles, that we would go forward. That we would pursue after you, that we would use our lives for your glory and for the good of other people, that we would not allow those things to weigh us down, to crush us, to lead us to despair, to abandon, to feel like you have abandoned us. But God, we would continue to pursue you, continue to find ways that our circumstances and our experiences can be used for your glory and how they can be used for the good of other people. Help us to be good witnesses of you, effective witnesses of your Son, Jesus. Thank you for loving us. We love you. We do lift up those who don't know you. And we ask that you would open their eyes to see you for who you are and their heart to believe unto salvation this morning. We love you. Thank you for loving us. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.